the Briscoe and Bradshaw Best of the Best, where we discuss and analyze some of the most great, the greatest and most iconic matches in professional wrestling history. We've been going through Terry Funk, the Faces of Funk, against Jack Briscoe when he won the championship down in Florida, the empty arena match against Jerry Lawler, and now the other face of Funk, the one that most fans today know, the hardcore Terry Funk. We've got a match in a death match tournament. This occurred in August of 1995, and you had the IWA setting up a tournament, all death match type matches, getting to a finale. Terry Funk has already wrestled against Leatherface, and he's going to face Jeet Singh, Tiger Jeet Singh, in the semifinals to see who goes on. And next week, we'll go over the match that people call the greatest death match of all time, and that is Cactus Jack versus Terry Funk in the finals. But this is a great piece of wrestling history, Tiger Jeet Singh versus Terry Funk. And Jerry, you knew all the faces of Funk. The hardcore one came about a little bit later, but this shows how hardcore Terry Funk can be.
Well, I tell you, John, when I originally saw this match, and I can't put a date on it, but I said, I was like, holy shit, what happened to Terry Funk? Where did that Terry Funk that I knew come from? Where did this Terry Funk come from? But man.
Hey, and by the way, here's Tiger Jeet Singh. Look at this intro. Look at this entrance. Stan Hansen said he copied Jeet Singh on the energy he had coming to the ring. He'd come to the ring, he'd get that sword, and he would bash people. It was wild, Tiger Jeet Singh come to the ring.
Jeet Singh was an international superstar back in the day there in the 60s and 70s. I mean, you know, he's an Indian guy, and he was drawing huge money in Canada. He had some of the biggest matches in Canadian history. And you come down to the old Sheik, the original Sheik in Detroit, and drew some huge houses over there. But he had this audience in Japan. And this, tell us about this organization a little bit, John, and how these matches came about.
Sure. Well, Jeet Singh made his name first with, look at here, he's jumping a ringside, one of the guys around ringside. Jeet Singh did this stuff all the time. He just had that out of control character. But he got into a grocery store fight way before Booker and Stone Cold did it, with Antonio Inoki. Then Inoki ended up breaking his arm in a match and had this huge thing going back and forth. But that kind of set Singh off on this great run in Japan. He later tagged with Mr. Wada, the blonde-haired Japanese heel, a terrific tag team. But then along came Onita with the FMW and the crazy hardcore stuff. So you remember you had Inoki, you had Baba, then you had Tenryu split off, then you had other groups. Well, Onita, when he split off, started up all the crazy barbed wire and hardcore stuff. And Jeet Singh, at that point, was toward the end of his career, but he had this incredible name, and this style was just made for Jeet Singh, as you can see.
Can you imagine being a production assistant?
Hey, right there. Hey, Josh, run that back just about 5 seconds. This is where Terry Funk earlier had gotten his head busted open. There he is, busting his own head open again, just to get a little extra blood for those that are watching.
Yeah. And like I said, can you imagine being a production assistant? All of a sudden, your production manager comes up to you and said, I want you to go to the local hardware store. I need 50 yards of barbed wire. I need 75 exploding caps. I need 18 fluorescent light bulbs. I mean, you know, what? What do we got going on here? But Terry Funk uses them all there. But this is, once again, we talked about the versatility of Funk here. And this shows a great versatility. Coming off that match you just saw last week where he won the NWA Heavyweight Championship from a brother, and seeing that great scientific match, and then we come right into this hardcore Terry Funk. This is what people remember, Terry Funk. The reason we showed that other match is we wanted to show just how great Terry Funk is.
Yeah, and this is also a big part of Japanese history. You know, Tiger Jeet Singh was a big draw in Japan. And at this point, he's 51 years old, so he's not way past his prime, but he's past his, you know, his prime of, say, working with Inoki, the wrestling style. But he had such a big name that he could do this brawling and he could still draw money. Yeah, he and Weta were a good tag team at one point. Weta was a great old heel, for those that don't know, in Japan. He is from Kumamoto. In fact, one time we were down in Kumamoto, and he had every connection to the Yakuza there was, and he'd been out for 2 or 3 days taking out sponsors and stuff, and we're in a match with James Beard, and Weta takes a bump off the apron, and James goes and checks on him. I said, "How's Weta?" He goes, "He's asleep." Uh-huh. Weta had fallen asleep. He had been up for 2 or 3 nights. So they finally woke Weta up, like, right at the finish, because there's no reason to wake him up until then. He wasn't needed. And he came in and did the finish and then went out with the Yakuza again.
And that Yakuza, that could keep you out all night. Now, everybody knows the size of Terry Funk, but look at the size of Jet Singh. He towers over Terry Funk. He was a huge man.
I traveled with Jeet Singh some when I worked for Kendall Nagasaki. And Jeet Singh stayed in character 24/7. This was only a couple years before this match when I traveled with him, but he would get out and he would chase, you know, fans around. He'd get his saber out. He always had his turban on. He always looked in character. I mean, it was he held true to that character that he created.
Even though this is an extreme hardcore match, look, I mean, he's telling the story here. He's going towards Terry Funk's weaknesses already that he had in that Leatherface match, you know, the eye that was cut, the arm that was cut. And this right here, this started the trend of cutting your arms. Dusty saw Terry's arm scars. I need some of those. And once Dusty started it, the entire business started ripping the arms off. But look at the blood. You can see it dripping on Terry's tape there. This match won't go down as one of the greatest matches in the world, but you know what? It drew a hell of a lot of money, and we're still watching it today.
Yeah,
you and I might be the only ones watching, but we enjoy watching Terry Funk perform like this.
Yeah, because Funk is, there's nothing like Funk.
I honestly think I could take this whole Funk library and then just watch it and rewatch it and just loop it, you know, because it's so interesting to see the different stages of Funk.
You know, you mentioned when we were off air, one of our shows that Funk, they weren't convinced that he was going to be a great NWA champion. And then he ended up drawing quite a bit of money. But the reason they weren't convinced, because he was crazy.
They didn't know which Terry Funk they'd get, to tell you the truth. Terry's a crazy guy back then. He's still a crazy guy today, but he was even crazier back in those days. And when he started that transformation from being Terry Funk into Cactus Jack and those hardcore characters.
Look at Gene Cena to that old style cell.
That old style, man. It's Tim Burr. You know, Chainsaw Charlie's and all that stuff there. But Funk's still going for the wrestling hold, even though it won't do anything in this match.
There's Jeet Singh going for that always there object in his boot.
That foreign object. And with Jeet Singh, it was a foreign object, I guess. Unless they were in India. Yeah, those old timers, man, they buried those things. You saw him digging deep down in his boot. That's how the old Sheik was, you know. He would dig down in that boot, and the people knew, but part of it was the suspense. What's he digging for, and what's it going to be, and what's he going to do?
That's right.
Bring it up.
And then you've always got the tease. Oh, here comes Cactus. Yeah.
This sets up the finals.
That's right. This sets up the finals. And there you have Funk with the 1.5. He got him.
And he got beat by his own sword.
That's right. Because the sword works. That's a Jeet Singh finish, by the way.
The power of the sword.
Yeah. Jeet Singh kicks out on 2.75 and gets hit by his own sword.
Terry bleeding like a pig there. Sets it up for him and Mick.
Yeah, and what they call the greatest death match of all time. You know, I was there in Japan when there's first Anita first started doing all this stuff, and we were just amazed at how violent and how crazy these matches became.
What years was this, John? About now,
I was started in 91 or 92, and I was there through 95 before I started with WWE. So I was there about 4 years, 5 years. And that's when Onita had first started getting doing his shows. That's when I first started the work shoots also.
So these
so this is the right, this is right when this these is right when first. After Inoki and Baba had you started seeing splinters from both groups coming out.
So these were the first hardcore companies, first hardcore presentations. Because I remember, you know, I used to go over to Japan back in 69, late 60s and early 70s, and you'd see all these advertisements. Like, but then it was like Muay Thai or Kung Fu, you know, battle to the death. The only winner, you battle till death, you know. So I never saw any of them. They said too violent for TV at that time. So
they went crazy at one point. I mean, crazy. They were doing stuff that was, they were getting people hurt and doing all kinds of exploding stuff. One guy, they wanted to touch him with a chainsaw, because the guy had a chainsaw. Literally, they wanted to cut his skin. You know, we could hear all this stuff, and it was just insane. And these fans would come out to it, but it was kind of the gore fest, you know? You can't sustain that. I mean, to me, this deathmatch tournament is too much.
Yeah.
You know, I understand where you do one or two, but you do the whole show. You know, that's why wrestling, you know, we always say it's a variety show. You got something for everybody. You got something for your hardcore guys. You got something for your violent guys. But you also got something for your kids and your families. And you got something for the people that like comedy. You know, when you just have all blood and gore, to me, it's just too much.
I asked Mick and Terry one time. I said, "Okay, I got to know these things. You know how we all sit in the dressing room and we come up with the content of the match. You know where it goes and all this." I said, "Okay, I want to know what book did you pull out? What research guide did you pull out to plan these hardcore matches?" Well, you know, back in 1936, Ed Stringer Lewis went through a bed of flying, a glass pane and shattered the glass. And then he got picked up and slammed through a mattress on fire. I said, there was no research for this. Well, you two goofball just come up for it on the fly. And basically that's what they did.
Yeah, two very creative guys. You know, Mick Foley and Cactus, Mick Foley and Terry.
Yeah, both of those, yeah.
Both Mick Foley and Cactus.
Along with Mankind and
that's right, Mick Foley, yeah. All of them, and Dude Love. They're just creative guys, and they came up with all this crazy stuff. I just think at one point it's too much. I mean, you go through a flaming table, and it's a shocker. But if you have a flaming table after a flaming table after a flaming table off a big three flaming tables at the end, it's just, you know, it gets to be too much.
And the repetition of it too, you know, I got where every match, and in this particular night, every match, I mean, how many varieties can you do? You know,
right. It's like when you do cable and somebody wants to drop the F-bomb. You know, I get it. Occasionally, you know, people, it's shocking, or maybe it serves a point or whatever else. But if you do it all the time, people just become desensitized to it. And at some point, it's just too much. It's like getting color. You know, I get it. I no issue with that. I did it 100 or 200 times, but you got to do it at the right time. And you can't just do it needlessly just to make a match gory.
And which a lot of people did, you know, in some of the smaller territories and everything. I think control of the blood was one of the better things that happened in our business for myself.
Yeah, I do too. It was an interesting time during that period of in Japan, because you were starting to see some of the work shoots. You're starting to see Pancras come in. You're starting to see the legit shoots, you know, with Pancras and other groups. And then you also had the hardcore guys, and you had your really old school wrestling guys. It was really an incredible time. There's at one point 20 something companies in Japan all trying to vie for a series of islands that is not that big.
Well, John, what do we got coming up next? With this best of the best.
Hey, next we talk about hardcore. Yeah. I don't know if you see this. I watched a little bit of it getting ready for this show. The death match between Terry Funk and Cactus Jack. This is shocking. It's so violent. It's crazy. I got an exploding ring that's going to blow up. at 10 minutes. They've got all these different C4 explosives in the ring, barbed wire everywhere, and they say it's the greatest death match of all time. I think it is too. Those two guys could do it. I'm glad that if I could, I never figured out I could.
I'm glad you didn't, but we can find that on Story with Briscoe and Bradshaw on anywhere you get your podcasts. And don't forget Podcast Heat and all of our friends with Podcast Heat there. And we want to throw out a special thank you to Josh. Josh has helped us produce this show where you and I mean, God, would still be on step one. We'd be like Bill Lafter and Stan Hansen. Which you've called me both today.
That's exactly right.
So Josh.
Josh is our man. Josh, along with Dave Civil, we are well taken care of, Mr.
Chris. The stud muffin you're talking about.
The stud muffin, Dave Silva. These are the two best guys in the business taking care of us, and we're glad that they're here. And you can catch all of our stuff, as Mr. Briscoe said, on our YouTube channel, wherever you get your podcasts. Best of the Best is a series. All these matches and our analyzing these matches all on our YouTube site. Thanks for joining us.
Just leave us some comments.